Give attention now to the reading of God's Word, Mark chapter 6, beginning with verse 30. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." But he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" But he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed, and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. Amen. We'll end our reading there in verse 44 of Mark chapter 6. Let's once again ask for God's help in a brief word of prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be pleased to open this portion of your word to us today, and that you would be pleased to open our hearts to this portion of your word. May we receive what it contains for us. May we draw from it life-giving, life-sustaining nourishment. May we be edified and built up by it. And Lord, may the effect of our time together in your word today be praise to our God and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. In this passage, what we really find in a variety of ways is the Lord Jesus Christ taking care of people, providing for them, shepherding them, ministering to them in one way or another. In a sense, the heart of this passage, the central point, the thing that is brought out more than once, is what it says in verse 34, that Jesus was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. He saw a need. He saw a need that was otherwise unaddressed, that called forth his compassion, a desire, an effectual desire to help. And so that's what we find is the compassionate heart of Christ responding to a variety of human needs from different sources in this passage. As such, you can probably already tell that this is a good passage for us to take to heart, for us to meditate on, for us to receive, because we also are humans with a variety of needs. We also can be scattered, lost, confused, hungry, destitute, overwhelmed in one way or another, and we stand in great need of the faithful, loving care of Christ, our Good Shepherd. Well, telling us about his character, reminding us of who he is and what he does, is a feature of that care. So this is true every week, but let me especially remind you this week that in the preaching of the Word of God, what is happening is not just that I'm getting up and sharing with you what I've learned over a time of study. What is happening on a more significant level is that the Lord Jesus himself is shepherding you through the use of an unworthy instrument. So don't think about me as much as you can. Think about Christ addressing you from His Word. I know that I do get in the way to some extent, but try to leave that aside. Remember the voice of Christ calling you to be aware of how He exercises His care for you from this passage in His Word. Now, as I said, the heart of the passage is Jesus having compassion and taking care of His own. And you see that right in the beginning in verse 30, where the apostles gathered to Jesus and told Him all things, what they'd done, what they had taught. You might remember He had sent out the 12 in pairs to preach, to teach concerning the kingdom of God. And then, of course, they were also casting out demons. They were healing the sick and so forth as they went around extending the ministry of Christ. Well, now they come back, and they come back with a report of where they went and what kind of a response they received, what they did. And hearing that, the Lord Jesus cares for them. He says to them, verse 31, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." He knew that after a mission trip of this nature, they would be tired. They would be worn out. They were in need of rest. And thinking about it, I think there's really two main benefits, perhaps, that we get from rest. One is that where we're feeling scattered and disorganized internally, there's an opportunity to process, to breathe, to put things back in their place. That's the way that Shakespeare speaks about sleep. He says in a wonderful way that sleep knits up the raveled sleeve of care. In other words, Shakespeare is comparing your mind to a sweater or something along those lines, which has been pulled apart and now it's messy, it's disorganized, and sleep is like coming in there with a knitting needle or whatever other appropriate implement and reorganizing it, setting it back to rights. That's part of what we need from rest. And you can understand why the disciples needed that. It says immediately following, there were many coming and going and they did not even have time to eat. Well, you've probably had a day like that where you're so busy, there's so many interruptions, you look around all of a sudden and it's 3 or 4 o'clock and you still haven't had lunch. That takes a toll. You can do that one day. Maybe you can do that 2 days, but you keep it up and it is going to have an impact. And there was so much hullabaloo. This extension of Christ's ministry had been so successful that now they couldn't get a break. They couldn't sit down and eat lunch and just be quiet for a few minutes. So that's why the Lord Jesus called them to go to a deserted place, a place where there weren't all the people to rest. One of the things they needed was just time to process, time away from all the stimulus so they could sort through what they'd already received. And of course, the other side of it was that they needed to recharge their batteries. They'd been expending a lot of energy and they needed time to build that reserve of energy back up again. So I think those are the two main things that we really need from rest. We need time and space to order our thoughts, to tone down the blooming, buzzing confusion of too much stimulation. And then we also need time to recharge our batteries. And we should not overlook the very simple point here. The Lord knows we need rest. The Lord calls His disciples to take the time to rest. And that is a call that we should all heed. It is something that we need. Now, everybody's a little bit different. Most of us find sleep restful, but apart from that, people recharge their batteries in different ways. And people figure out things, process things, knit up the raveled sleeve of care in more than one way as well. That's fine. The goal of resting is that it should leave us calmer and more energized. And so if what you're doing to rest, quote unquote, is not having that impact, I think some very sound practical advice would be to change your recreations a little bit. I try to take a day off, at least most weeks. Doesn't always work out. But if I spend that day watching the news, you know what? I'm not going to be less stimulated, more relaxed, more energized afterwards. You've got to be realistic about this sort of thing. I know what energizes me. I know what helps me sort through things. And it's way better to give some time to that and let other things go. In that way, rest is also a productive part of our lives. Well, the disciples needed that, and the Lord knew that, and so he took care of them, providing that for them. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. However, as I said, you try to rest and it doesn't always work out. People saw the direction the boat was headed. Presumably there was something to do with the wind or with the currents that made them a little bit slower than they maybe otherwise would have been. And so they were followed, and people got there first. They could see the destination they were making for on the lake, and so they hurried up and arrived first. So this great plan to go to a deserted place and rest, it didn't work out. And can I just stop there for a moment and observe? You know, we all understand that we're supposed to rest. We all know that we ought to be focused and intentional about this. But can I point out, the Lord Jesus tried and it didn't work out. So we shouldn't be too frustrated with ourselves either if we try to schedule time to rest and yet somehow it doesn't quite work out the way we were hoping to. That's a common experience. We shouldn't make the difficulty of resting an excuse for not trying. But if it didn't work out, well, don't waste time, more time being frustrated about it. Roll with the punches, as the Lord Jesus did here. When he saw them, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep having a shepherd. And so he began to do something about it. And that brings us to our second point about shepherding the sheep. And you notice where he began. He began to teach them many things. The Lord Jesus saw this group of about 5,000 men. He felt compassion for them because they were leaderless. They were directionless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And what was his response to that need? It was to teach. Luke tells us that he taught them many things concerning the kingdom of God. Mark doesn't tell us what it was, but he focuses us on the activity of teaching. Now, there's a lesson in that for us as well. What do we need? Well, we need rest, but we also need teaching. We need to be learning. We need to find out new things. Maybe this morning you're feeling a little spiritually puny, so to speak, debilitated compared perhaps to where you were last year. Well, is it a big surprise? Last year, at this time, we would have had Sunday school after church. We could have gathered for book club. There were two Bible studies running, not just one. And this year, we've got the service, we've got one Bible study, and then there's the videos that go up online. We have way fewer opportunities for teaching than we had last year. But this is some of what we need. This was the Lord Jesus' compassionate response to sheep without a shepherd. He began to teach. Now, I understand that I'm not the only person who can teach you anything. I certainly understand that. I understand that church isn't the only place you can learn something. There's other ways to learn. You can read books. You can listen to sermons or lectures or conferences or podcasts. You can watch videos. You can research things on your own. I understand that. But just in terms of opportunities for teaching, I was forgetting the nursing home services. We've lost those too. There were a lot more opportunities to learn something here at church last year than there are this year. If you're feeling rudderless or directionless or less well-fed than last year, that might have something to do with it. And if you are feeling that way, by all means, feel free to let me know. I'm happy to work with you on the best solution we can come up with for there to be enough teaching. This is something we need. As Christians, we are to be learning. This is part of how we grow. And so exposure to teaching about the kingdom of God is something that we need. You didn't learn it all when you were in Sunday school as a little kid. There's more. And we need that more. But then, of course, Jesus didn't just teach them. He did teach them, but he also fed them. And it's an interesting thing to notice the differences between the different gospel accounts on this point. The Gospel of John tells you about the reaction of the crowd, of the people who had gathered there. Mark doesn't really tell you what the crowd thought or felt or even really what they did. His focus is on the disciples. And there's a lesson in that already. The Lord Jesus was caring for the disciples. He was leading them away to rest. Well, the crowd prevented that, and the Lord had compassion on them, and compassion was a good reason to postpone rest a little bit longer. But in caring for the crowd, the Lord Jesus did not lose sight of the disciples. The plan to rest was frustrated, but there was something else that the Lord could do for the disciples in this occasion. And that's where the most familiar part of the story really begins. After he'd taught them many things, it had gotten to be quite late in the day. And here you have this big crowd. We're told it's about 5,000 men. Now, I said that we're supposed to be learning. So here I'm going to tell you something that might well be new. If you grew up hearing this story the way I grew up hearing it, you were always told that 5,000 men indicated that there were also probably an equivalent number of women and children. And that's certainly possible. Matthew says there were men without, there were about 5,000 men without women and children. But that's the interesting question. Does that without mean without counting them? Or does that without mean they weren't there? This was a group of predominantly men. We know there was a little boy, but predominantly men. It could be, and that would also then make sense of why they gathered so quickly, why they gathered in such number, why they were going to seize Jesus by force to make him a king, according to John chapter 6. In other words, this was in some ways, could have been, the beginning of a military insurrection, and they were choosing Jesus to be their leader. And there's a little bit of support for that given in that expression used as sheep without a shepherd. Moses uses that in Numbers when he's facing up to the reality of his own death. And he prays for the Lord to provide somebody to replace him so that Israel won't be left as sheep without a shepherd. But then it's used again in 1 Kings when a prophet is predicting that the king of Israel will die in battle and the army will be left as sheep without a shepherd. So conceivably, this was a gathering of primarily, predominantly men who were thinking that the overall outcome was that they were going to appoint a general or a captain and get started with this revolution that they needed to have. Well, the Lord Jesus did have compassion on them. He taught them. We find out in John that he prevented them from taking him by force to make him king. He ministered to their various needs. And as he did so, he also cultivated the disciples. Now, let's say that that idea is correct, that you've got about 5,000 predominantly men in the audience. Well, the town of Capernaum about this time had a population of around 10,000 people. How are you going to feed half the population of Capernaum in a deserted place? But Jesus says to the disciples, they've been here a long time. It's late. You need to give them some food. The disciples are understandably a little bit flabbergasted. You see that in their response. First of all, they're done. They're tired, right? They come to him and they say to Jesus, send them away. You know, enough is enough. Let them go. Let them buy food. Let them disperse back to their own homes. And presumably with enough small villages and short distances there, they would have been able to rustle up something to get them home. But Jesus stumps his disciples. He says, you give them something to eat. He's not willing to send them away without anything. But the disciples don't know where to turn. And so they complain in a sense. They challenge Jesus' instructions. Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? According to the parable that we're told in Matthew 20, a denarius was about a day's wage for a laborer. So 200 working days worth of money is what they're thinking would be needed to buy food for this huge crowd. Well, you can imagine, how embarrassed would you feel if 5,000 people showed up at your house and said, "We're hungry, give us something to eat." I mean, we have some very hospitable and very talented people in this church, but I think 5,000 people might stump even Pam and Julie. That's a lot. What are the disciples supposed to do? Jesus isn't being obtuse. He's not being difficult. He's developing them. He's cultivating their practical trust in him. And his next instruction to them really underlines that. He said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see. Take an inventory." Well, they found out five. Five loaves. Now, the loaves that we're talking about were probably round loaves, about an inch thick and maybe 8 inches in diameter. This is one loaf per 1,000 people. And with the fish, the situation is even worse. There's only two of them. The fish were not really the main part of the meal in all likelihood. They were kind of a seasoning to add some flavor, some variety to just the loaf. But you've got one loaf per 1,000 people. You've got one fish per 2,500 people. And we're not talking a salmon or a mackerel or a tuna. We're talking something probably more like an anchovy. Something littler. How did taking inventory help? But the Lord commanded them to have everybody sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in these rows and columns of hundreds and fifties, and they brought that little, tiny, insignificant amount of food to Jesus. And he took them, and he looked up to heaven. That's a sign of prayer. He gave thanks. He pronounced the blessing. He broke the loaves. He gave it to his disciples, and they began to pass them out. The two fish he divided among them all. And they all ate and were filled. Well, the Lord has certainly tended to needs here. He's taught the multitude. Now he's fed them. They've all eaten. They have had enough. They were satisfied. This wasn't a little snack to tide them over until the real meal later on. This was a hearty meal. So they felt full. They felt good after getting enough to eat. And then Mark emphasizes the abundance of the provision. They took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now, when it says fragments, you know, you might get the idea that there was here a crumb and there a crumb, or, you know, maybe the little bits that dropped out of people's mouths when they weren't quite careful about chewing with their mouths closed. It's talking about unused pieces. And there were 12 of them. I wonder why 12? Well, because there were 12 disciples. You see, they also get a meal out of this. The baskets were probably their own personal little baskets. The Roman satirist Juvenal makes fun of Jewish people of his time because they always carried around a basket with a string. So that's probably the kind of basket that was in view here. A sort of a lunch pail, or the Hebrew equivalent of a lunch pail at that particular time. Well, they were able to fill up all their lunch pails with bread and fish so that they would have something to eat. The Lord's provision was abundant. The Lord's provision reached to everybody there. And that's why Mark tells you there were about 5,000, so that you realize the magnitude of this miracle, the scope of the power of Christ. We're supposed to see that the Lord is well able to provide for us, that he's able to sustain us in every difficulty, that he's able to bless us in all our needs. It was a deserted place. There wasn't some secret stash there that they could draw on. But out of the very little that they had, in the Lord's hands. It multiplied. It became sufficient for the whole group, as well as for the disciples who served. And in commanding them to do that, the Lord really put his disciples to the test. How would you feel if we're hosting a fellowship meal and you're told to distribute a couple tortillas and a lollipop among everybody who's gathered? How do you distribute one lollipop among 100 people? It doesn't work. But in Christ's hands, it did. So the Lord shepherded his disciples by teaching them more about his power, his independence of the means, his ability to create a banquet practically out of nothing in the wilderness. You know, a lot of times we can feel that we're in the wilderness, that there are no resources available, that there's no possible direction from which help or comfort can come. And sometimes we draw the further conclusion that under those tough circumstances, the Lord's commands are entirely unreasonable. He can't seriously expect us to continue to obey when he's put us into this kind of a tight spot. The disciples might have thought that. And if they had, if they'd refused to go through the ridiculous charade of serving 5,000 people with 5 pieces of bread, they wouldn't have experienced this tremendous blessing of seeing how the Lord provided, of understanding that the important thing is not what resources we have, not what we can see. The important thing is the Lord's compassion. So whatever your situation is today, from whatever direction you feel overwhelmed, the biggest question isn't what's the problem. The biggest question is the Lord compassionate? Because if he is, then you can come to him. You can come to him with the griefs and the sorrows. You can come to him with the weaknesses and the inadequacies. You can come to him with the protest. There's no possible way to meet this need. And you can hear his words of direction. You can implement them in faith. And you can be dazzled by the result. If you're involved in the distribution of Christ's blessings to others, you don't need to be worried that you're going to be left hungry. There were 12 baskets full of fragments because there were 12 disciples. They all ate and were filled as well. The Lord takes care of his own. He ministers to the multitude, and in ministry to the multitude, he does not lose sight of those who followed him more closely, more carefully than the rest. We can turn to Christ. We are not as sheep without a shepherd because we have Christ. Amen.